This is Whitney, and you're listening to the JCast on Jabberlog.
Live from the Podcast Zone at the NINA 2013 Conference and Expo in the Charlotte Convention Center, it's Within the Trenches with your host, Ricardo Martinez.
Hey, what's going on? This is Ricardo with Jabberlog on the JCast, and this is going to be just another episode, a series of episodes that I'm doing here for Within the Trenches. And I am currently within the Charlotte Convention Center in Charlotte, North Carolina, and we're here for the 2013 NINA, National NINA, actually, Conference and Expo. And this episode is brought to you and sponsored by the Cool Kids of 911. You can find them on Facebook. Check them out. They got a lot of good things on their site. And for today's episode, I am sitting with Mary Jo. Hello.
Hi.
And Kelly.
Hi.
How's it going?
Good. How are you?
I am doing well. And Mary Jo is with Brooklyn, mm-hmm. correct? Brooklyn,
yes.
PD. Kelly's with Cleveland PD, and they're both out of Ohio. So I heard you just a moment ago. You said this is your first time to a national conference,
yes.
Mary Jo?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay.
I won it, actually.
You won it?
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Well, I won a trip through the county, Cuyahoga County.
Oh, nice. And so... what have you guys been thinking about it so far?
It's interesting.
Very informative.
Yeah.
Did you guys go to the keynote speaker this morning and listen to that?
We missed him. We went to a couple classes. We're going to go see Marley Matlin tomorrow morning for her class or for her keynote.
Yeah, that one sounds like it's going to be pretty interesting.
Yeah.
You know, the whole text to 911 thing and a lot of different things that are coming out with next generation 911. I mean, what do you guys think about all that?
I think it's interesting. I think there's a lot of questions in the text to 911, though, mm-hmm. that... you know, there's questions that we have to ask a caller. So if it's hearing impaired using the text to 911, but mm-hmm. if it's regular people that can speak it, it's easier if they just speak it instead of text it.
Right.
Unless they're in a critical situation where they can't.
Mm-hmm. I think it will definitely help, you know, for critical situations, as you said. Now, Mary Jo, how did you get into 911? What really drew you to 911 services?
Well, I wanted to work for the police department starting when I was young. My brother and I both did. My brother's a detective.
Mm-hmm.
I used to work in Cleveland with Kelly, and I started 18 years ago. It'll be 18 years in October.
Mm-hmm.
And it just, I think the ability to help somebody else, like they rely on me. I'm a helper, and I don't know. It's interesting to me. It's something different every day, and I'm not a desk person. I'm not receptionist, if you will. I'm a little hyper. I need something, and it's different every day. It's different.
So do you work mornings or nights?
I work afternoons.
You work afternoons. Mm-hmm. Oh, so how do your shifts work then?
I work 3 to 11, 3 p.m. to 11 p.m.
Uh-huh.
When I was in Cleveland, we had all kinds of different shifts. I worked the 7 p.m. to 3 a.m. for a few years and then 2:30 to 10:30 p.m.
Wow. Yeah, I work 4:30 to 4:30. And it's nights. Which I like nights a lot better. I don't know.
It's busier.
Yes, exactly.
Right.
Yeah, you know, and yeah, I did work days, but I live about 35 minutes away from work. So when I was working days, I'd have to wake up at 3 in the morning to get ready and then leave at 3:30 to get to work by 4:30.
Oh, God, no.
I live 8 minutes away from work.
Oh, man. That would be nice. I would have enjoyed it a lot better then. But, I mean... you know, having to do a schedule like that the way I was doing it, and I did it for 6 months, you know, I'd get home from work and I'd be getting tired at about 7:30 or 8 o'clock. Then I remember one night I was going to crash out and my wife was going to crash out too. And she laid there for a minute. She says, wait a minute, why am I going to sleep? And I said, I don't know, but I have to go to sleep.
Anytime.
Yeah. Now, Kelly, how did you get into 911?
Actually, Mary Jo, my friend, and my other best friend, Diane, were dispatchers. Mm-hmm. And I said, you know, I'll try it. I'll take the test and see what happens. And I loved it.
Yeah?
Yeah.
So what was it that really made you love it?
Just because it's just interesting. Everything mm-hmm. is just so different every day. No day is the same. No call is the same. I like variety.
No, we definitely get variety. Yeah. That's for sure.
Right. And I like to be busy. And being on second shift is busy. I mm-hmm. love it.
What are your favorite type calls to take? And I know that sounds odd for people who are not in a profession. It's a favorite 911 call. Well, there's stuff that we take that we would rather take more than others.
The little kids are drunk people.
Those are the most fun, aren't they?
I'm telling you, I have a guy who calls every day. And uh-huh. he asks for me now. Can I talk to Kelly?
That's awesome.
And I will sit there and talk to him all day long. He'll call me. We'll just sit. He invites me over for bologna sandwiches and beer to his house.
Sweet.
I'm telling
you. That's what I'm talking about.
He is just the funniest guy, and I'll just sit there and talk to him all day long.
Man, yeah.
I got kids, too. They're cute. Like, if they're calling kids. We were working together once before, and we were on a channel, and we got a 911 call from that little kid, and we tried to call back. And I'm dispatching, and she's talking to the little boy on the phone.
Yeah, yeah.
And she says, well, can you get an adult? And all you hear is a little kid's footsteps going down the stairs. Can you talk to them and say I'm here with an adult? It was just so cute.
And his mom
kid.
Was like, who are you on the phone with?
Oh,
well, I called the police. And she was like, why? He said, because you were sleeping. He wanted somebody to talk to.
Nice.
So we called 911. But just to hear his footsteps going down the steps.
And we're always there. We never go home. So,
right. Oh, that is definitely funny. I know I've taken a lot of calls but you know, most of the ones that I've taken with little kids, they seem upset, not crying emotionally or anything, mm-hmm. but angry. Like they're swearing right off the bat. And I'm like, hey, like, where's your mom and dad? And they'll go off swearing and everything. Well, there's been a couple times. And for people who don't know, if you call in on 911 and it's a phase 2, we can kind of pinpoint, you know, where you're at. Or we can call your cell phone company if it's something questionable that we think, and we can find you.
Right.
We can get an address or something.
Right.
Yeah. And, you know, that one of the times that I remember, we've got an address and an officer went out there and he keys up on the radio and he says, Central, I believe I'm at the right house. I see a little kid who just saw me in the window and he went running. And so we're like, oh, man, what's going to happen? You know, I want to know what's going to happen. Well, we end up getting a 911 call just a little bit after that. And it's from the same phone number that this little kid was calling from. And it's the officer. And he says, here, put on speakerphone. He wants to tell you something. And he's like, I'm sorry. Like, it's all right, little man.
That's funny.
Yeah. So, yeah, little kids
are fun.
Yeah, they can be fun. And, you know, the talking to, you know, people a little bit tipsy or inebriated, that can be fun too.
It's interesting. That's for sure. You get the best conversations with those people.
Right. Yeah. You know, I took a call and I've written about it and I think I've even mentioned it on the podcast too. I took a call once where this guy was, you could tell he was very hammered. And what he wanted me to do was he wanted me to have an officer go to his home to do a breathalyzer test on him because he wanted to prove that he wasn't as drunk as the bar thought he was
when they cut him off.
Yeah.
Awesome.
When they kicked him out, he says, you know, I don't. And the thing that I remember the most was that he kept calling me dispatcher. He kept saying, come on, dispatcher, do your job. Get an officer over here so you can do this. And I just, you know, I would hold the phone up and turn my head and chuckle because what else can you do?
Right.
You know, you can't really get mad, but, you know, he wasn't saying anything, you know, crazy to me at all. But he called about 6 or 7 times. And I kept telling him the trooper's not going to go out there because there was a state trooper that I'd been talking to. Mm-hmm. And he said, you know what? If he calls one more time, he says, I'll go out there. He says, but it'll be, you know, an abuse of 911 and
right.
He's going to go to jail. Yep,
yeah.
Exactly.
That's what happens to this guy.
Yeah. So the last time that he called, he said, I asked him, I said, so you're upset about this whole thing. And how did you get home? Were you by yourself? And he paused. He didn't say anything. And then he says, you know what, dispatcher? That's not the point here. The point is that they kicked me out and I spent over $300 there. I says, so you drove yourself. You're, that's what you're telling me? And he says, well, yeah, but this is recorded, right? I was like, yeah, well. So I tell the trooper and the trooper goes out there. And I told him, I said, you know what? Fine. We're going to send an officer out there. He's heading out there to assist you. And he says, okay, thanks, dispatcher. Finally, you know, you're doing your job. And I said, yeah, that's what I do. I serve. And that's what I'm doing here. I'm helping you out. And the trooper gets out there. And he, no later did he get there. You know, it was like 5 minutes or so. He says, I got one in custody. I was like, all right. Like, that'll learn you.
All of day's work. All of day's work.
Yeah. Yeah. So thinking about when you guys first started, in dispatch and 911 services, what are the calls that really stick out for you? You know, calls that you've taken, things that, that really stuck with you, that you remember?
Oh my God, there's so many.
Mine is, I was working in the 4th District on the east side of Cleveland, mm-hmm. and we had a call that a guy lived in a double, and when he got home, there was blood. He lived downstairs, and there was blood on the steps going to the upstairs, and he hadn't seen the lady that lived upstairs. So me and my partner, we dispatched it out, and we said, we don't know what's going on. They just found blood. So they get there, they kick in the door, and the mother is dead. and there's two kids that were in the house with her, and one was a baby, and the baby was sucking the blood off the mom trying to get milk.
Oh, geez.
They said the baby just had blood all over her face, and it's still, to this day, I would sit here right now and just cry. That's how sad it was. But we wound up, there was a little baby in the house, and then there was an older boy who was four, and he kept saying, Tino did it, Tino did it. So me and my partner at the time were looking through our record management system to see if we can find who this is and that address or whatever. And we found a social, and they pulled it up on the computer.
Right.
And the little boy said, that's him, that's him. And it was his stepdad that killed the mom.
Oh, wow. That's, oh, geez.
Horrible.
You know, it's calls like that that, and yeah, exactly. You know, you're talking about it, I'm goosebumps as well.
Right.
Yeah, it's odd how those calls really stick with you, you know?
Yep.
One of the first encounters that I had, it wasn't on the phone. I started in Florida, actually. And this first encounter was face to face. It was a PD. It was just one dispatcher. And I was talking to the chief. I was just getting done with training. And he was like, are you going to be okay? You're going to be all right, right? And I said, yeah, you know, if anything, I'll give you a call. It'll be fine. Well, this lady runs in and she was hysterical. You know, she was crying. She was freaking out. We were trying to figure out what had happened. And her husband were separated. She was going to see him at the house to tell him, let's give it another shot. Well, she got there and she found him hung. And it's, you know, it's like that. You know, those things that really stick with you. What about you? Any calls that you can think of?
I have a lot that stand out, but we had a shooting in Cleveland at Case Western University, and I was supposed to go out and work the command bus, and I took one last call before I went to go to the command bus, and it was a hostage locked in a closet in the college. I ended up having her on the phone for 3 hours until they were able to get her out of the closet, and she... the nicest lady. She was an older female. She was mm-hmm. the nicest lady, and she said she never charges her cell phone ever. Her daughter always reminds her, and she doesn't do it. She doesn't know how her phone lasted. She actually came up to dispatch a couple weeks later with a box of chocolate and a camera. She wanted mm-hmm. to take a picture of us, her and I together, and
oh,
she
that's
framed
awesome.
It with her cell phone. She put her cell phone in a shadow box and framed it up.
How'd that make you feel?
It was awesome. I mean, it's good to know that, you know, some people you affect in a positive way.
Mm-hmm.
We had a shooting in the city that I work in now that was a domestic
mm-hmm.
That didn't end so well. So, you know, those stick out in your head.
Right.
Only because the public doesn't understand what we deal with every day.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah. And that's one of the main things I was telling you guys before we started this podcast that I wanted to do, because, you know, I want the public to know why when they're calling 911 for a medical, when their loved one is having a heart attack or, you know, something to that effect, why I'm going to put them on hold. And the reason I'm putting them on hold is because I have to still page out that ambulance. So if you want an ambulance, I still have to put you, you know, on hold for that.
Right.
And so, you know, I want people to understand that. And, you know, listening to these stories, you know, what you guys have said, they will be able to understand a little more. Now, for the time that you guys have been within emergency services, is there anything that you can think of for people that are wanting to get into dispatching, 911 dispatch, you know, just any advice, anything for someone to really think about before they get into it?
If you can't handle stress, it's not a job for you.
Because mm-hmm.
It doesn't stop, it doesn't slow down. And it's something that goes home with you all the time. It took me a long time to get over the shooting that we had in our city because the wife and the two daughters, the father shot the wife and the two daughters and killed them. It's hard to get over that.
Right.
Situations like that, and you have to understand that it's a job that you can't just pass it on. Mm-hmm. It goes everywhere with you.
Right. Right. How about you, Kelly? Anything that
you'd have to have thick skin. I mean, just with
that is a big thing, isn't it?
They're going to call you everything.
You're
going to
get called every name.
That's right.
You're going to get attitudes from the citizens, and half the time you get them from your police officers too. If you're dispatching on the channel, I mean, officers are stressed out too. They get upset
right.
If you don't have the information they want to hear because you're waiting, because we have a call taker and we have a dispatcher and it's mm-hmm. the officers.
Right.
So if I'm dispatching and I'm waiting for information from a call taker, they're getting mad at me because I don't have the information. It's a safety issue. But thick skin, because people are very mean.
That is definitely true. Do you guys ever, I don't know, every agency is different, but do you ever get officers who self-dispatch themselves to mm-hmm. things?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
What do you think about that?
If it's just like we have park checks, they have to check the city parks.
Uh-huh.
If they're just dispatching themselves to a city park, the only reason I don't like it is because if I'm busy and I don't know that you did it and it pops up on the screen, if I need you, And right. I go out for you and you're like, oh, well, I'm at the park. Well, I didn't know that. So I don't really need you to be dispatching yourself. I need you to tell me where you're at. And if you do dispatch yourself and right when you dispatch it, you start screaming for help, seconds save lives. So yes. I need to know where you're at and what you're doing.
Exactly.
If I don't know what you're doing, God better know what you're doing. Cause
yeah. Correct. Isn't that a t-shirt or a meme somewhere, I think?
Something on Facebook or something, yeah.
That's funny. No, and I only ask because it's always a debate when I talk to anybody about it. And even in the officers, you know, I hang out with them and all, and they'll say, why do you guys get so upset when I don't call something out? Like, because I'm the one, that's me, you know, that's all me. If you don't call out a traffic stop and I don't know where you're at and you're yelling for help and everybody else, all the other officers are saying, so where's he at?
Radio?
What is he on? I don't know where he's at.
This is what I tell them. If I'm only asking where you are for your safety, because the worst thing I can do is choke on a bonbon or fall out of my chair. So I'm only asking you for your safety.
And that's a good way to look at it. That's funny.
We're your lifeline. So, you know, if I can't help you, who's going to help you? I can send the troops to where I think you said you might be, but if you're not telling me where you're at, if you're, like they get in Cleveland, they get a whole list of calls they have to respond to instead of one at a time. So if they don't go to them in the order that you give them and they go out of order and they start screaming, you think they're in an alarm and they're at a drug complaint. Or they decided to put themselves on a traffic stop and not tell you where you were at, they're going to be alarmed. I mean, they're going to get hurt. It's just that simple.
Exactly.
That few seconds that it could take for me to find you or for somebody else to say, oh, radio, I see them, could mean your life.
You say radio?
Yeah, they call us radio.
We're radio.
some of the deputies, they joke with us. Whenever we have somebody new come in, they start calling them radio. And they'll say, you know, so-and-so to radio. And then the person who's being trained will look over at, you know, the person next to them. And because it's happened to me a bunch of times. They'll look at me and they'll say, are they talking to me? Because they said radio, not central. And I said, what do you think? I think they're talking to me. They're talking with you. They're initiating you into this whole thing.
Right.
Well, on that note, because you guys have a class that you're going to go to, and it's about 3:54 right now. So this is going to be the wrap up for episode number 28. So thank you very much, Kelly and Mary Jo, for sitting with me on this episode.
Very nice. Thank you very much.
No, thank you. And for everybody listening, as always, you can email the show at thejcast@thejabberlog.com. You can follow us on Twitter, and that is @WTTPodcast. And then you can find us on Facebook, facebook.com/withinthetrenchespodcast. And then this episode, along with all the other episodes, will be put up on thejabberlog.com. And once again, this episode is sponsored by the cool kids of 911. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
You just listened to Within the Trenches on the JCast. If you have any questions or would like to be a guest on the show, send an email to thejcast@thejabberlog.com.